Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live from Globe Life Field for the final Texas Rangers home game of the season. They will officially wrap up the season on Sunday. Today is the last home game. I don't know if last night was the last opportunity for the fans to cheer on Adolis Garcia. He got a pinch hit opportunity. So I don't know if he'll be in the lineup today. That will probably depend on how he's feeling after yesterday. But if so, it would be, I feel like, a pretty good bet that today will be your last chance to root for him in person as a Texas Ranger.
What was the feeling you got from Boach? Because it did feel like yes. You might be right when you asked that question. The next one part of it was we're going to see if he can pinch hit.
Well,
and then it felt like he gave the – it all kind of depends on where he feels for that last game.
No, that's true. But the other thing that he said was, yeah, that's why we think it's really important to get him in there.
Yeah.
And, like, that, I think that's as close to an admission as you're ever going to get of, I think we've seen the end of this relationship.
And all that being said, look, man – the business of sports is what it is. We understand that. The players understand it. It's all there's a lot of, as you said, transactional things that go on here. The managers have to understand that, too. Whenever they're managing, I wonder how frustrated they get because they're like, his agent right now is fighting to get this. You're like, ah.
Right.
But as fans, the one thing that I think we can do is give that support because and say thanks. Because without him, you don't have a World Series.
Sure.
Absolutely.
You don't
win that ALCS. You do not win the World Series without that guy.
So I absolutely agree.
It is that opportunity to say thanks for that. And that's the thing, Kevin, that I never felt like we got to do for Nelly Cruz. Nelly Cruz did a lot of really good things while he was a Ranger. And because of the way that ended, we never really got a chance to say thank you. It was more like ship him off.
Look, yeah, I think you can look at the lineup from last night, and I realize they're missing a lot of people. We're going to get to the Cowboys in just one second. But I think you can look at the lineup last night, and there is at least one more person in that lineup that has been with the team for a little bit of time that you may well not see with the Rangers anymore. By the way, side note, I wanted to shout him out, Billy McKinney, our buddy, Plano West's own. He was in the lineup last night. He got a hit and an RBI as the Rangers were victorious 4-2. And we talked with Bruce Bochy yesterday about how important it was to finish at least at or above 500. And so I'd love to see them win this thing, be at 81-78 because you're going up against an unbelievably on fire Cleveland team.
Yeah, man, they found their groove, haven't they?
It is absolutely remarkable how freaking good that they have been down the stretch. Them and Seattle, it has been just wild to see how good that they have been. All right. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're out here at Globe Life Field. We got Jared Sandler coming up. It does sound like our good old buddy, Mr. Mike Bacsik, will stop on by as well. But we want to talk about the Cowboys. And we didn't get to this yesterday, but unfortunately this felt like a topic that would carry. What are the Cowboys actually going to do about this defense? What do you think they can do? Because, guys, I don't know if you took the same thing away that I did, but I think it is clear from both Jerry and Steven that they think the appropriate pieces are in place. Now, Steven would say they just need to execute better. Jerry says communicate. But that's why I even asked the follow-up question on Monday, because I admit I was a little dumbfounded that he was like, oh, yeah, no, we got the pieces. And then he doubled down of, like, we feel like we have the pieces. And I realize they have injuries, but it does not feel as though the Cowboys think any other outside stimuli is needed for this defense.
Yeah, you know, they want, obviously they want to see what Clowney can do first.
Sure.
Well, if Clowney can do something, then we're okay. We don't have to add anything else. We don't have to go get anything else. And I think a lot of Cowboys fans are hopeful that he provides some sort of presence that makes it more difficult for quarterbacks. And maybe he makes it a little bit easier for Kenny Clark to get upfield or Osa to get upfield. If that's the case, that's a positive thing. So I think that's their first thing. Now, Kevin, unfortunately, that test is going to take one complete game to figure out.
Right.
So that thing right there, maybe not fixed until after this game. The next thing, though, is that secondary. That secondary area, I don't know if you heard this morning, Bobby had a really good conversation about stuff he talked about up in Chicago, learning about Eberflus and how there was some tension amongst the secondary players
right.
whenever he took off out there. And so that part of the conversation is, will they ever get on the same page with him? And what does he need to do to get on the same page with them? Or is it just going to be this kind of flux all the time, and these guys are just trying to figure out what they're trying to accomplish? I think that just continuing to work at it is the only thing they can do. Like, they have no other option but just to keep working at it. And it might be a couple more games before you go, okay, that's enough. We got to move on from all this.
You know, Bobby, I know he went over this earlier in the week. I was looking at some of the stats that he was breaking down. And, yeah, I do believe Mike will be on the show today. And Caleb Williams, one of the things that we'd asked for was more blitzing, more man coverage. Against blitzes and man coverage, Caleb Williams had a perfect passer rating.
Really?
Over the weekend. And
oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, I called for it. I hoped for it. Well, I mean, a lot of other people,
always,
too. And
that was always
going to
really be the case
out.
With Caleb yeah. Williams.
Yeah.
Everybody kind of knew he'd have a perfect passer rating.
Now, I feel like our sarcasm is about to go into overdrive because we bring on Mike Bassick. And dare I ask this question? But oh, no.
I know how to work that
button. Okay, man.
Hello, Tolo.
Hey, Mike.
It is one Mike Bassick.
Did you come back because you missed us because you wanted the Evan Carter card or because you wanted to answer what can the Cowboys possibly do to fix their terrible defense?
D. I'm the D. All of the above.
Yeah, well, Mike.
People have wanted me on the show. They've been asking me
if
I'm coming on the show, especially during the off season, like if I'm coming back part time. And I just want to make a big announcement right now.
All right.
Do you guys want to make it or me?
I don't know what this announcement is.
I mean, I'll let you make it just in case it's different
oh my
than what
gosh,
I know.
What is about to happen is I've what been, I'm – we should make it – we should probably wait till the next
No, segment. He's about to tell you I'm not going to be coming back.
What? Well, there's the announcement.
Dang, Kevin, you were supposed to drum roll and everything.
I thought it was going to be different.
You're a liar.
Kevin, just let me know.
No, you are a liar. We've all sat around and had these conversations time and again. Mike, you're welcome whenever you like.
You always are.
I just can't pay you.
Who's easier to work with after the show, Dave Raymond or Kevin? Are the phone calls coming from Raymond?
Sometimes.
Okay, all right. So he did call Kevin and ask for some tips.
My head gets in the way of a lot of things.
In the TV shot?
Well, just the things inside my head.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
By the way, Noah's doing great.
Yes. Sue thinks he's fantastic.
Loves Noah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good kid. I feel like this is definitely an off-air
conversation.
We're
on the air.
That's a good point. All right, so
how about our Rangers?
I know we'll get to that. I know they've broken your heart plenty of times. Have you watched the Cowboys games? DVR them and watch them later?
Yes. Not live, obviously. Yeah. I did watch Thursday night the Eagles game
live. Yeah.
Rangers had a night off. I watched bits and pieces of the other games. I watched the whole second half because by the time the Ranger game got over, I was able to get home and just watch kind of really bad football.
It was a struggle, man.
Right, it was 7-0 in the second half because it's 24-14 at half. It's not good.
No.
But I will say, here's the interesting thing from my perspective. Jerry talks about the soap opera. I saw that interview kind of with Dak and the soap opera. If the Cowboys lose Sunday night, and if the Cowboys were to lose that Carolina game, that's the next game, correct?
Probably so.
Jerry's got to keep the soap opera going with no juice on the season. And that's, to me, the most interesting part.
Yeah.
Is what will Jerry do if they start off 1-4, and we all know the season's over in competing for a playoff spot, what does Jerry do then? Because he will do some crazy stuff. He might yell at 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I think he's already done that one.
Okay.
So you
got
to dig deeper into the big bag of tricks somehow.
But I have been watching. It's not good. It goes back to, and I remember I said I was wrong. I was like, there's no way this defense is going to be even average, Kevin.
Yeah, yes.
And Micah Parsons turned one of the worst defenses in Cowboys history into an average defense, and then it got better
from
there.
Which was a remarkable achievement.
It's now we're back to
before
they drafted Micah Parsons, and now it's one of the worst defenses in Cowboys history.
Oh, absolutely. The separation that you saw. And I've got another stat for you later. Not just in the Chicago game, but in the last two games. It's historically terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what they're going to say. Look, we heard Jerry on Tuesday with Sean and RJ. We heard Steven with ourselves because, Mike, you taught me I've heard everything I've ever said. And Jerry will be the same tomorrow. Is Bland's coming back. Revel's coming back. They got Clowney. Like, they're going to turn it all around with all of these people. I'm not saying that I think that, but that is going to be the message, and I hope that's true.
Yeah, with Bland, I think he can definitely help. With Revel, he's a rookie who's never played in the NFL, coming off an injury, and he's going to have so much time to get better. I know what I saw in college. And again, I've seen some things in college that haven't translated to the NFL with multiple players they've drafted. But I know what they saw. He reminds me a little bit of the mentality of Jordan Lewis, where he'll put his nose in there. That's something they're missing. They are missing a personality like that on that defense where he's like, I'm not going to take this S anymore. I got to do something about it.
I think it's going to be interesting when it doesn't immediately work out, and nobody should think it should immediately work out. It's not Travis Hunter that's coming back to your team.
Right.
It's 3 to 4 weeks later, you guys are going to ask the questions to Steven, and Steven's going to say, hey, look, we knew it was going to take time. He's coming back from a major injury. He hasn't played in the NFL. We know it's going to take time. He got some NFL experience. We really loved what Overshown was doing, but he's coming back from a major injury, and it's just going to take time for him to get back to. Yeah, that's – I just don't know why – well, I know why, because they're selling a product.
Sure.
I don't know why they're not more honest with that, just for the expectation of when these guys come back. It doesn't mean they're going to be bad football players.
Right.
It just means it's going to take them time to learn and to get back to physically trusting where they were at before they got injured, whether in college or last year in the NFL. But he just refuses to do that, and I get it. It's a Jerry ploy of just say everything's going to be perfect in the near future.
Sure.
Now, Kevin, Bobby just texted us. I don't know if you happen to see it.
Oh, I did not.
He wanted to ask Mike how he feels about Dennis Smith Jr. coming back to the Mavericks.
Can I tag on with that question? What did you think about Mike Curtis saying that Dwight Powell is the 29th best Maverick of all time?
Heck, he has like the most time on besides Dirk Nowitzki. I think he has the most time in Mavericks history on the team.
Look at Mike. He's looking at positive linings there. Look at that.
I don't see how Dennis Smith Jr. makes an impact.
Oh,
except he might make the team.
I don't know,
what do I think of Luis Curvelo being on the Rangers? I think it's great he's on the Rangers. Like, I'm proud of him.
Who are your top five Mavericks of all time? I want to see if they match up.
Dirk's number one, and it's not even close.
Yep.
I'll go with Rolando Blackman, number two, in the history of the Mavs. It gets into, I'm thinking Jason Kidd, number, because of rookie of the year, all-star, comes back, wins a championship, and now he's your head coach, and he was a head coach of, one of your three teams that made the NBA Finals.
That's weird too.
That's not being a player.
I don't think that in particular got factored in, but that's an interesting thought.
Right, so that's three.
Where's Luka on your list?
I really thought he'd be Luka.
No, it's going to be, I mean, I guess you could put him four, maybe even three, but it's going to be, because if I'm putting Jason Kidd there, he has a weird history with the Mavericks.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think that Luka is going to have a weird history with the Mavericks.
Probably so.
So, right there. And then, I don't know, for some reason, is this bad, but Jason Terry's hitting my brain as a very important.
Wow, over Mark Aguirre, or
I think
your history of that time is.
And
better
here's
than
the
mine.
Deal: the history of the Mavericks is a bad history.
Yeah,
yes,
that's true.
Hence the Dwight Powell selection. Yeah. Just for the record, Jason Kidd is 6 on this list. And Jason Terry is number 8.
I think Derek Harper, Mark Aguirre.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Luka, Rolando Blackman, and Dirk are in that top 5.
So Luka was actually 2nd on this list. It goes Dirk, Luka, and then you hit the 80s trio with Blackman, Harper, and Aguirre.
Okay. I don't have any issue with that. I totally get where you could put Luka number 2.
Yeah, I think I do as well.
It's a good number 2.
Yeah, that's we almost a couple weeks ago, we wanted to call you live just to get your reaction to Dwight Powell being number 29.
Everybody was texting it. They were like, you guys are doing a disservice not calling Mike about this right now.
I don't want to fight the Dwight Powell thing. As far as I know, Dwight Powell has a 10-year contract starting today still. I don't think he'll ever not be on the Mavericks.
Do you have time to talk some baseball and stick around?
I have all the time in the world.
All right. Coming up next, we will talk some more baseball in general and Rangers with Mike Bassick next right here on The Fan.
Adams, 2 checks of the runner, and now the 1-1 pitch. And that's lined into left field, and it drops for the base hit. Clemens comes up with it, rounding third. Duran, here's the throw home. He dives, and he scores. McKinney goes to 2nd on the throw. Rangers take a 2-1 lead as Metroplex native Billy McKinney delivers here in the 7th.
Plano West Zone. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, live from Globe Life Field with the return of Mike Bassick.
Oh my gosh, I'm back.
For now.
Okay.
Mike, I hate to ask the question like this, but I'm going to do it nonetheless. Do the Rangers, like, how much do the Rangers need to win today if they're going to finish at 500?
I think it's going to be tough to win a game in Cleveland.
Because Cleveland is going insane right now.
They're rocking. That place is going to be insane. It's going to feel like late 90s, early 2000s there. The Rangers, at this point, I want to make this clear as day. Injuries had very little to do with the lack of success for the Texas Rangers this year.
Oh, fascinating.
That is interesting.
It was the offense.
Yeah.
They had enough. Guess what? Every year, guys are going to get hurt. The Astros played without Yordan Alvarez for almost the whole year.
Yeah.
I mean, they had other injuries
that
happened, too.
They had a ton of injuries, yeah.
They still are going to win way more games than you win.
Yeah.
So I do not want to make that an excuse. But at this point, what you're taking to Cleveland, no Langford, no Carter, no Semien, no Seager. Adolis is compromised right now. DeGrom's not pitching in the series. Obviously, Evaldi's out. You start looking at that and going, so you're going to a team that is going to make one of the most historical comebacks in Major League history?
It is the. Like, it looks like it is going to be the most historic.
I think winning a game in Cleveland is going to be very tough. So winning today against Minnesota, a team that is, you know, half of their team is kind of the St. Paul Saints.
Right.
Very important if for the 2nd time in 9 years you want to finish 500 or better.
Okay, and so you just kind of touched on that. I want to ask both of you guys, do you see an important distinction between 80 and 82 and 81 and 81?
A little bit, but not a lot.
I don't.
Okay.
The for me, it's the season ended without playoffs. That was the ultimate goal.
Yeah.
The ultimate goal is always the championship, but playoffs is where it starts, and you didn't get there. So I don't see a real distinction if you're not in it. Now, I do see a distinction between 10 games. Tells me you're a far worse team than you actually are. This team wasn't awful. They were just missing this huge component of offense that they desperately needed and could never find, no matter what they brought in for it. And that's where I was going to go with Mike on this.
Yeah.
Until they brought in these young players who were like, I have something to prove, and I wonder if they proved enough to get themselves a spot or a chance next year.
I think they can compete for a spot next year. What they did was they changed the energy of this team.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the dugout was more lively. All of a sudden...
Is that important?
Yeah.
Does that matter?
Dude, I think so.
Can you tell me why?
I can talk about being on the Mets in 02, and we had Piazza, Alomar, Mo Vaughn, Al Leiter, John Franco. I'm just giving some big names. A couple of them Hall of Famers. You know, Mo Vaughn, a former MVP. You had Ray Ordonez. But you know what? I was a young guy on that team, and so you're just following. You're not leading at all, and I wasn't a name on that team at all or like a big-time prospect. Like, it's weird that these guys don't seem to care if we win or care if we lose. It's the same feeling after each game.
Yeah.
And I was on Cleveland the year before, and we had Juan Gonzalez and Kenny Lofton and Jim Tomei. But, man, those guys stood up and they cared. If we lost, it was a big deal. Not every loss, but you could tell, like, we're either winning it all and we're making the playoffs first and then trying to win it all, or this is not acceptable, and I don't want you on this team. If it's acceptable to lose more than we win and to not make the playoffs is acceptable, you're not supposed to be here.
And they made that clear. Kids kind of had, yeah.
Yeah, and it was like, they just were like, we don't know. We're just going to give everything we got. And it eventually the talent,
the
talent that wasn't on the team, it just wasn't enough to keep doing this. But I thought the attitude and energy of that 16-4 run without, for the most part, Seager was there for the start of it, and then the appendicitis got him. But for the most part, I thought the energy and attitude was different. I thought you could feel it being around the team, but the talent wasn't there to maybe keep it going.
Can I ask a maybe tough question? Would that energy, do we think, have been able to thrive the same if Corey Seager was around? Corey Seager does not seem like the most energetic.
Well, Simeon wasn't around either. So I know he was here, but his standard is that he is there every day, and that's what he teaches, is I'm here for the grind. So I also wonder how that would be affected, because those are the two guys I look at as the leaders here.
It's a fair question, because then you get the talent on the field you're missing.
Yeah.
But there is look, whether – I know you're talking to Jared Sandler later. There is a thing about this team that the veteran guys, Seager, Simeon, different guys, and – It just doesn't feel like that high energy. You don't want to be too emotional, because then when things go bad, things can go really bad.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there has to be a sense of this leadership of this is unacceptable, but still being positive and optimistic through the negative time.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have a negative through 162.
Sure,
there's going to be bad stretches. So it's a valid question. You'd have had the talent, but yes, there's Seager is who he is. It's not going to change. He's a great player who struggles with health. When he's healthy, he's a major contributor, but I wouldn't say you're looking to him. This is the weird part. You're not looking for him to lead a team, but he's going to be a leader of a team, whether he likes it or not.
I think it's interesting because Bruce Bochy managed Barry Bonds, who I don't think was a leader, but he was a great player, an individual in a clubhouse that they still missed. You know, they didn't get ultimately with him what they wanted, but he was a great player at the time, but he was separate kind of. The manager himself, so he understands. He has lots of experience coaching different guys. We love him. We love this manager to death. He brought us a World Series. I've seen people call for his job. I hate that. It drives me nuts. this season, Mike, he sounded so sad yesterday.
Oh, my gosh.
He sounded so sad. Does he want to be a, like, with, do you think he gets wants to be with this club further than this?
I actually do. I think that he's going to be the manager next year for the Rangers. Now, I don't hold me to it. Like, yeah. You said this.
Yeah.
Things can change. I honestly don't know, but my thought is he is the manager next year. I think he wants to continue managing the Texas Rangers, but I want to make sure I'm putting I think.
Yeah,
I
no,
don't
for sure.
know.
Yeah.
I think he's been frustrated with what we've just been discussing is he probably feels like I'm the manager. How come I couldn't figure out how to get this team to play harder, more consistent, how to score runs, how to have a better approach at the plate? And I get he's relying on hitting coaches. He's relying on analytic department. He's relying on
the players being honest.
You can't really look at Mike Maddux. Obviously, yeah. the team did have a lot of blown saves.
Yeah.
And they didn't have a guy on the team that was a savior.
I feel like the sense is that blame goes more on Chris Young from everything we've heard.
On the offense, because you wouldn't have been in blown save situation.
No,
oh.
I meant for the pitching, just because they feel like we never secured a real closer.
Yeah, I was in spring training with you guys. Yeah. I was kind of Boach going, I don't know any of my bullpen guys. literally, I don't know any of them. I got to figure out in 6 weeks here who they are, what they can do, and how to piece it together.
Good luck to me.
And so that was tough, but I do think that this can be a playoff contender next year and make the playoffs, but I do think it's going to be possibly a pretty different team on the field, because after 23, 24 was below 500. This year is going to be right around 500.
Yeah.
And I do think that they look at this and go, we kind of need a different vibe because Eovaldi and DeGrom give the staff an identity and they help. And they're good, and you need them to stay healthy, those two guys particularly. But I think that they help out the vibe of we're going to be a good staff, and here's why. We're going to go out there and do our job, but we're also going to lead. And I think that on the offensive side slash the player front, the 13 guys that are the players, that the vibe from those 13 guys – needs to feel a lot different next year.
I thought last night was a really great example, because DeGrom, even though they're done, he was like, no, I need to go out there and pitch. And he goes, look, I've missed a lot of time. I want to pitch when I can pitch.
And there's multiple things there. Prove it to other people, but prove it to yourself. But, Mike, you know this. You only get so many games that you get to do this job.
Yeah.
And you want to have all those experiences you can have.
DeGrom's leadership, and I know this is a little bit older story, and if you haven't heard it, great. If you have heard it, sorry, I'm repeating it. Bradford this year, when he couldn't come back and then had the surgery, he was here the next day. And they're like, why are you here? Like, the media was kind of like, well, you just had surgery, this and that. He goes, you know what? When DeGrom in 23 had his surgery, the next day he was here, and he was here as much as he possibly could be. He's like, if Jacob DeGrom, one of the greatest pitchers of my time, will be here and will be trying to help every individual pitcher as much as he can, not that he was forcing himself on him. He's like, well, DeGrom set the example for me. So whether you like it or not, when you get the 20-plus or 30-plus million dollars a year, whether you want to be a leader or not, you become a leader. You don't even have to lead. But the young guys are going to follow.
Yeah, they're watching you at all times. Just like a parent, right? Just like those kids know everything that you're doing.
So from we could stick with the Rangers if you want. I had a cross the MLB question for you. If you got the vote, who is your AL MVP?
It's Cal Raleigh for me.
Being behind the plate, handling those duties.
Yeah,
and
even with the OPS 200 points lower.
I totally get it.
I'm with you there.
He handles a pitching staff. Here's the deal. They haven't won the division since 2001. Yep. They finally did something that seemed impossible in Seattle to do.
Make the playoffs.
By me.
and me too. I thought Seattle's going to Seattle. We were in August, and I was like, they're going to figure out a way how to screw this up. The Rangers just need to take advantage of it. They didn't screw it up. Who was this led by? A dude who behind the plate won the Platinum Glove last year. He plays almost every day. Does he catch every day? No, but he catches more than anybody in baseball. He's behind that dish all of the time. He's giving you good at bats. He's a major threat. He's a switch hitter. He just beat Mickey Mantle's record for most home runs from a switch hitter ever in a park that is not a hitter's park.
Fact.
So now I'm not trying to take anything away from Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge
dude's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's probably going to win an MVP here and there again in his career. But at this point,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I have to look at Cal Raleigh and go, he won it this year. It's not that Aaron Judge had a bad year. He had an MVP year.
If Aaron Judge had never won MVP, do you think you'd feel the same way?
That's a fair question. Because at this point, do you just want to give it to Michael Jordan every year? Because really,
from
1988 till 1998, nobody else should have won the MVP except the 2 years that he sat out.
Right.
It should have been Michael Jordan every year.
Right.
But I do think this. Is it fair to Aaron Judge? Maybe no, because I do look at it and go, do I just give it to Aaron Judge every year unless he misses 40 or more games?
Yeah.
I think there's, for me, it's definitely the, look, man, you're a great hitter. He is the best, one of the best hitters in the game. Him and Ohtani, you can choose between them. But the fact that this dude handles his defensive thing the way he does, that just levels up.
So that's your vote as well?
It is Cal Raleigh.
And his team had success.
Yeah.
I do think that plays it shouldn't play a major percentage, but it should play a percentage in. He took a team that never wins.
Yeah.
And they finally won.
You can give Aaron Judge the offensive hitter award if that's what you want to do. Yeah.
Can I ask you a question back?
Yeah.
If there's a possibility, I do think after this 26 season, there's a possibility of there's not an American League and National League.
Right.
Who would you give the MVP to if it was like football or like basketball? I would give it to Cal Raleigh still.
I think I would too.
I would give it over Ohtani.
Shohei didn't pitch enough.
Yeah.
To take that away, to take what he does defensively away.
Yeah, and he's incredible. And I guess I might like lazily lean on the spirit of the award and be like, the Dodgers have overcome some stuff. They've been really good for a long time. They'll be fine. Whereas to your point, the Mariners, this is the sixth time they've ever made the playoffs. And like you said, first time in 24 years to win the division. And Cal Raleigh could still hit 63. Like, he hit two last night.
Yeah, and how many times he saved their game, you know?
Yeah.
Late in the game, he has a big clutch hit.
So. He also, the pitching coach doesn't go out there a lot to the mound.
Because he's the guy?
They let Cal Raleigh control the meetings. They're like, well, there's no reason for me to go out there. Cal knows what he's doing.
Big Dumper knows how to do this.
It's not like the Marlins, where they're spoon-feeding their kids. Everything. I'm like, hey, eventually, didn't mom have to stop feeding? Like, Noah, is he feeding himself?
He can feed himself.
A little bit, not all the time.
No, I mean, he can feed himself, yes.
Hopefully, here pretty soon, you don't have to worry about you putting the food in his mouth.
We haven't done that in a while, Mike, but thank you very much. I don't know how long you think kids still get fed by their parents. Noah's 3 years old.
In Miami, it's a long time.
Yes, it is. All right, Mike, anything else we need to know? Anything else you want to say?
Gosh, wasn't it great?
When it comes to season tickets.
You're welcome.
How
can people get their season tickets?
There's always next year. Rangers.com/season tickets. I think it's going to be interesting. This team can be a 90-win team next year or better. Who's going to be on the field for the Texas Rangers?
Yeah.
I will tell you this. I do think for sure Wyatt Langford and Evan Carter are going to be on the field.
Yeah.
And there's going to be other Rangers that are back. I just don't know. I think that Chris Young has more A.J. Preller in him than John Daniels.
Big bold.
Now, I do think they're
strategy.
John Daniels is more, I think, risk-averse.
Yeah.
And AJ Preller's like, we didn't win the World Series. Change 17 plays. Yes. I don't know if it's going to be that
change
extreme.
Change the jerseys, hell.
AJ Preller is the most extreme general manager I've ever seen.
I kind of like it.
And it is fun. I do think Chris Young has a little bit more AJ Preller in him than John Daniels. So we'll see what this offseason brings. I think it'll be a very interesting Rangers offseason.
Mike, for whatever it's worth, I can't tell you how many people are on the fan text and the Twitch and the YouTube saying how happy they are you're here.
Oh, man, thanks.
I refuse to pull fan text up for Mike because he didn't want to see it.
Can we pencil you in for Peace-a-thon?
Dude.
Oh, we got an announcement coming up about it. I think you might love.
Are you guys going to be in the same building?
Nope.
New building for KNC Masterpiece.
And then a little bit more new. We'll tell you in just a second. All right, we're live from Globe Life Field. Coming up next, we're going to have on Jared Sandler to try and refute all the points that Mike just made. Next, right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Quick bit of breaking stars news.
Oh, my gosh, man.
They
said yesterday it wasn't going to be that serious.
Well, they have revised that opinion. Jamie Benn is out at least 4 weeks from a collapsed lung suffered in the last preseason game. They said he will be reevaluated after that time. And usually
he's going through surgery now and can't fly for 4 weeks.
I mean, and so reevaluate is not going to mean he's good to go. So he is going to miss a significant amount of time. One would have to think at least 6 to 8 weeks just off the top of your head. So he is going to miss the beginning of the regular season. Right now, brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing, we bring in Jared Sandler, Texas Rangers broadcaster and knower of all things baseball. Good morning, sir.
From May 18th, 2025, on the postgame show known as Rangers Game Day, which can be heard on 105.3 The Fan.
Right.
I was standing next to Elvis Andrews, and I'm petty, by the way, just going to preface. I'm a big fan of Jamie Benn's. A dip S baseball person said, quote unquote, when talking about the Astros, their run of AOS titles will not continue in 2025.
Oh.
And I believe that became official.
It did. Yeah. All right. Well, then let me ask you that.
Were you the dip S then? Is that?
Well, that leads perfectly into my next question. Seeing as how that team is led by a historical individual, who would you vote for AL MVP?
You know, I said 3 weeks ago, I was like, I don't know how. If I told you, you got a player who leads Major League Baseball, not the American League, leads Major League Baseball on batting average, on base percentage, slugging percentage, and OPS. Like, is it even a question? But, and then if you want to go to some of the advanced metrics, WAR, Aaron Judge, I think, I haven't checked recently, but I think Aaron Judge has
about, like, 2 points.
Yeah.
So that's a lot.
Weighted runs created plus, which is an advanced stat that I'm not saying that needs to be a deciding factor, but it's a valued offensive measurement. Aaron Judge is in a class, like, it's like him and Babe Ruth right now. So that's the only thing where it's like, you know, WAR factors in defense, right?
Yeah.
But Cal Raleigh is really good, and he's a catcher.
And he was platinum glover last year. First time they won the division in 24
the
years.
Catcher part the one really thing, stands out.
Yeah, and the one thing I will say I don't like is, I've heard some people say, well, take Cal Raleigh away from the Mariners and they're nothing. But if you take Aaron Judge away from the Yankees, they're fine. I think it's actually the opposite. I don't think it's totally the opposite. I think, like, the Mariners lineup is way better, for my money, than the Yankees lineup.
Interesting.
But the catching thing, and yeah, I do think there is something, the baseball gods, like, you haven't won a division in that long.
Yeah.
And not just you haven't won, you have routinely choked away opportunities.
Yeah.
Your history, yeah.
I guess I would say this. So Dave Raymond said this yesterday, and he's right. The cool thing about the MVP and a lot of these awards, your opinion, Kevin, yours, Corey, mine, can all be based on a different belief system and what's important.
Yep.
And we could all, like, if you told me Aaron Judge was your MVP, I wouldn't say you're wrong. If you told me Cal Raleigh, I'd be like, cool. Like, it's one of those two. I still think I've got to wrap my head around not voting for the guy who leads Major League Baseball in batting average, on base, slug, and OPS.
Follow-up question to that.
But then, I think I'm voting Cal Raleigh. Yeah, I think I would. But I just feel weird doing it.
Okay, follow-up question. Sorry to jump in there.
No, all good.
If Aaron Judge had not ever won an MVP, would this be a conversation?
Listen, they're human to vote. They're human to vote. No, so it's absolutely.
I think now you say not ever. Like, let's say he won one 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And then I might not still. Yeah. But he had never won one. That's a different conversation.
Yeah. And that's why I have a hard time factoring that out. Because I'm like, well, if that was equal, then you would vote for Aaron Judge. But I think I'm Cal Raleigh, too.
Yeah.
Like, all of that said, I still think I'm Cal Raleigh. Okay, who is going to end up being the most embarrassed? The $340 million payroll Mets not being in the playoffs, or the we choked away the biggest lead in the history of baseball, Tigers, and didn't make the playoffs?
Yeah, I think it's got to be the Tigers.
And the Astros.
Well, yeah, when the Astros don't make the playoffs, that'd be amazing.
Yeah.
I'm slightly glad that the Guardians have taken control of that division, because I didn't want to be faced with the, shoot, like, do I want the Guardians to beat the Rangers so that the Astros miss the playoffs?
All right, but great. Then I get to ask you my question that I had posed earlier in the week, maybe last week. All right, it's Sunday, and the Texas Rangers are winning 2-0, and they have a no-hitter going into the bottom of the ninth. If Cleveland wins, they're in the playoffs and Houston is out. What are you rooting internally?
Here's how I would justify it. We won't remember when the Astros then make the playoffs and get swept. We'll remember the no-hitter.
Yeah.
Right? So I would choose the no-hitter, because for that individual person, whoever would be pitching the no-hitter, that would be such a special moment. I couldn't root against it.
Right.
And it would be awesome for the franchise. And I haven't had anything since Kenny, right?
If it was a run of the mill 5-4
game, if it was a run of the mill 5-4 game, and no one would be negatively impacted by the Rangers losing, if it kept the Astros from making the playoffs, I would have a tough time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was prepared to go on G-Bag tomorrow and for them to ask me that. I was actually thinking about it last week. And I just want the Astros to lose. If the Astros lose, they're not going to make the playoffs. So, I want the Rangers to win, but I'm just going to root for the Astros to lose, which is no different than any other day, by the way.
I've seen your Twitter account.
Yeah.
Yesterday when we had Bochy on, it was the saddest I'd ever heard him entire life.
Someone told me that.
It really, Jared, it was...
He didn't ask us how we're doing.
Yeah.
Even in a losing streak, he's like, how we doing, fellas?
How we doing, guys? And it didn't come across that way. His energy this year, have you felt that any different? And then that moment, was it just the fact that they were officially eliminated probably put him in a different place?
Well, I don't know if you guys heard what he said the night before.
Oh, we asked him about it.
Okay, yeah.
That was our first question, and he goes, you know, I thought about that a lot.
Maybe I was too
tough on the guys.
Well, but, you know, I appreciate him saying that, but...
You don't think he was?
I don't know. I mean,
they played poorly.
It was very low energy. That's what I'd say. It's very low energy, and it's tough. I mean, you spend, this is a long season, and you work for 5.5 months to try and make the playoffs, and now you finally, you know, it's the reality it has set in. It's not happening, and you come out and you play a team that also is. I mean, not only are they not good, they traded away more than half their roster at the deadline in the Twins. It's a midweek game. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and say that I don't understand it. I mean, it's on one hand, you know, you'd like to think that guys are going to sprint through the finish line, but I get it. You know, I'm not, I don't know that I love it, but like I get it. If someone were to say, dude, you don't know what it's like to play every day for 5.5 months and I'm beat up, I'm hurt, you know, I'm just like, I'm, who am I to, you know, I don't know what that's like, but I understood his frustration after the game, and we didn't, you know, from a broadcast side of things, like, it was tough to talk about that one because, there's no meaning to the game. But there also wasn't anything where it's like, this guy put himself out there and, like, we appreciate that. Strike out, hit a home run. It just kind of seemed like a blah game.
I know you were saying no meaning to the game in terms of you're not going to make the playoffs. I asked Corey this. I asked Mike this. I would love your opinion. Is there a difference to you between 80 and 82 and 81 and 81?
It depends on the draft pick situation. And
okay.
I mean, because here's the deal. And listen, no matter if you're 80 and 82 or 81 and 81, chances are there are going to be multiple guys who get drafted after your selection who right. end up being great.
Sure.
But, like, I just think about 2015 when the Rangers with Tim Bogard, they had a great end to 2014, and that cost them Alex Bregman. I mean, it did. Like, you know, it's –
Well, he's going to be on our team next year, so don't worry about
it. He'll probably be a Dodger, but I do think that winning seasons are meaningful.
Do they need to win today? Then,
yeah, I think so. The Guardians might not be playing for anything on Sunday, but it's just awfully tough when you're not playing for something against a team like the Guardians that is. But yeah, I mean, I think optically we look back and like. You don't think about the implications. In general, though, I'm not a big team. I mean, I get Team Tank. I like Team Tank in theory. Not that the Rangers are tanking, but just that general conversation. I'm too competitive. When the game starts, I want to win, and yeah. I get upset when the team doesn't win.
Yeah, like kind of like Fergie Jenkins' fantasy camp. It gets really competitive out
yeah.
there, man.
So. Yeah. You guys going to go?
We were talking about that yesterday.
I really want to go. That sounds so much fun.
Have you ever participated in or wanted to be in one of those fantasy camps?
In a fantasy camp?
Yeah.
For baseball or what fantasy?
Yeah, for baseball. That's not a Blake Lively fantasy.
No,
camp.
No, of course not.
Where she like talks ass about you that didn't actually happen. And so
I've never done a fantasy game. I did go back for the USC baseball alumni game and I got an at bat, as a manager does, you know, I offered to do laundry, but they're like, no, we want you to get an at bat. I faced Bobby Wheatley, who's a lefty. I took a pitch right down the, you know what? Oh, and I'm like, that was my shot. And then he threw me a curveball, and I hit it like 3 feet in front of the plate. Thought I was going to beat it out. It didn't. So that was like the closest thing I've had to a fantasy camp experience. But they gave me a uniform and everything.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Do you still have that uniform?
They gave me – so on senior day, they gave me a jersey like they gave to all the seniors or the guys who clearly were going to sign, you know, getting drafted. But for everyone else, it was like they framed the back of the jersey with their number on it. For me, they just framed the front of a random jersey, a random home jersey that I never actually wore.
We were like, I can't remember the guy's last name.
But I have it. I have it. Thankfully, we didn't put names on jerseys. But
that is my favorite story.
Yeah, it was great.
Jared, thank you very much. I got a question for you off air. But coming up next, we'll talk with Dallas Cowboys insider Mickey Spagnuolo right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.